Hey everybody, it's John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I literally record right here in my vehicle outside of Washington, D.C. while I drive home in bumper to bumper traffic. I'm a high school instructional coach. I teach two sections of American literature. I spend most of my day doing research and working with teachers to help us get better at the thing that we love. We call it a teaching practice, not teaching perfect. And so much like a yoga practice or a martial arts practice, there's always something to learn. There's always something to do. We're never done. And if you believe when you walked into the classroom that you are a master teacher because you know science or you know English, respectfully, my friends, we don't know jack. We have so much to learn about what we are doing, not because we don't know our content, but because our constant understanding of children and psychology is growing and changing every single day. And today's kids are so much different than the kids of 20 years ago or 10 years ago, and even 5 years ago. In a smartphone generation, in a 24/7 fake news, news media generation, there is infinite amount of information that they are being exposed to. And I think it's so critically important to understand who they are, where they are, and how we can better serve them. So it's a lifelong commitment to doing exactly that. So we'll talk about a whole bunch of stuff today and about where our inspiration comes from specifically. Today's post will be all about inspiration, and I sort of have a personal case study I want to talk about for that. But before I get to the nitty-gritty, I am John, and I'm all about talking about this stuff with you. I'm on Twitter, at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name, and teaching like EDU, right? And I have a website. It's adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline, because I'm fired up about education. I want to get fired up. What people want to get fired up. So take this brainstorm as sort of a brain dump, and then as a brain prompt to join in the conversation, because I would love, love, love to connect and to brainstorm with you about ways that you're finding inspiration and ideas to reach today's learners in your classroom, whether you teach littles or middles or high school, all the way up to higher ed. I think there's a lot to be gained from just listening to one another. And so that's my chance to throw my hat in the ring with these guys and join in conversation with you all week long. So please do. But I want to talk about a case study because it is today. Today's Friday, and it's, I guess, the first full week of April, maybe like the 10th. I'm really bad with dates. But this past weekend, I was super crazy, super busy, and I headed up to New York, New Jersey. I did four things very quickly. So my family lives in New Jersey, and I live in D.C., I got in the car, said goodbye to the missus, and I made the trip up to just visit my folks. She had work this weekend down here. She's also a teacher, and just a million things to do in two different directions. So I headed up solo for a weekend with my family just to catch up and connect. First things first, on Friday, I visited my brother and his wife, who just gave birth to their first son. So I'm an uncle for the first time. I'm really excited about that. Then Saturday, my mom and I went to New York City. It's about an hour and change from our house in northern New Jersey. And we went to see two shows in New York, and we did lunch and then dinner in the city. And then on Friday, because I couldn't leave Dad out of the mix, my dad and I, and actually my brother-in-law, Kenny, and my mom came too, we went to see WrestleMania, which is, this year it was in MetLife Stadium, which is where the Giants and the Jets play, just outside of the city. So 7.5 hours of professional wrestling. And then I made the drive back down to D.C. first thing Monday morning because I had work. And I had to hustle and grind it to get great things happening for my kids and my classroom and our teacher PD. We had a half-day PD on Monday. So I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I had a lot of inspiration. And I want to talk about those four things and the inspiration that they kind of show me. Because I think in the 21st century, we have to get past this rigid notion that inspiration can only come from a book or a book or the book. Some years back, the Modern Libraries Association, MLA, changed their handbook such that they talk about no longer the text or the book, but rather the container, because a podcast is a container of information and a website is a container of information just as much as a book is a container of information. And sometimes people can learn better with a video or a podcast than they could have ever learned with a book. And that's not just from reading differences. I'm personally dyslexic, but it's also a matter of time. If you can see me talking about stuff and move my hands with diagrams and charts, and you can pause that video and you can say, hang on, this makes sense, or I'm having trouble and I can scrub back and watch it again, you can learn differently. And in the 21st century, as George Coro says in The Innovator's Mindset, people do not care how you learned it. All they want to see is what you can do with it. So the MLA moved to this language of, quote, a container versus a text. And purists get all upset about it, but you know what? There's a reason why we have to be inclusive in our language, because different people learn in different ways on different days. And so I want to talk about what I learned in this weekend's crazy whirlwind of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, back to D.C. So here's what I learned on Friday. I met my brother's baby. Nephew. I'm going to get choked up when I say it. JJ's 4 weeks old, and it's the coolest and scariest thing to see a thing that my brother and his wife, like, you made that thing, man. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm kind of terrified I'm going to break it, right? And I think about why we as educators do what we do, and we think about how fragile a newborn child is and how dependent on its parents it is, how it really does not have the ability to even see 12 inches in front of its face. His eyes are bouncing all over the place. He's just wiggling all the time. And Jeremy's like, yeah, it's just kind of what he does. We're in love with him, but he doesn't do much. He doesn't goo-goo gaga. He doesn't do the crawling thing. He doesn't say, here comes the airplane, or so big. None of that stuff. He's a baby. And he's such a new baby that he can't do anything other than just be a kid. And the United Nations has a really strong position paper about the rights of a child as a child. And he says that children should be received in their capacity as children, like as kids qua kids, right? Not as future employees in the adult workforce. It's contrary to the dignity of a human person to treat them as anything other than what they are in the present. And I love that language, because it's like, JJ will grow up to be, I don't know, an astronaut, an engineer, a lawyer, an actor, a musician, a model, a coder, a hacker, an Uber driver, whatever. But that's later. Today, JJ is 4 weeks old, and that is what JJ should be expected to be. And in our classrooms, I think that's so critically important that we remember that our kids are kids, and they have the right to learning, but they also have the right to leisure and to play and to creativity and to wonder and to see things through the eyes of a child, because you only get one crack at that stuff. And at the deathbed, nobody says, man, I wish I had more time as an adult. They say, all those years of my childhood, coulda, shoulda, woulda, if I only would have known all these great things then. Letting our kids have access to being kids is fundamentally a good thing. So that was a big takeaway for me on Friday. Saturday, my mom and I went and saw two shows in New York. We saw Dear Evan Hansen in the middle of the day. I think that was on Saturday, which is a 2018 Tony Award winner best musical. And then that night we saw Hamilton, 2017's Tony Award winner, the sort of cultural juggernaut there on Broadway. Because we live in New Jersey, New York, I've had the privilege of seeing each of these shows a few times because we kind of geek out for the Broadway thing. But I've learned a few things about life through Broadway musicals, and I want to talk about them. One, Dear Evan Hansen will rip your heart out, and it's beautiful. It's about a student with social anxiety who becomes the unlikely star of a social media campaign in honor of a classmate who dies by suicide. And that is all you need to know to be like, get the waterworks ready. It is beautiful. It is hard. It is messy. And it's really empowering. So what I saw in Evan Hansen, and I love the music. I've seen the show a few times. But what I love about it is that it's so human. And sometimes Broadway gets this rap for being, over the top and a little campy. And there's plenty of that there, too. But this show is just so grounded in the human experience. And it connects to me on such a human level, working with students who are dealing with anxiety, depression, fear of missing out, LGBT identity issues, you know, just knowing who they are, body shaming, fear of who they are expected to be. And I think that this did a really good job of just reminding me of my purpose. So I was really empowered by it. That night seeing Hamilton, if you haven't seen Hamilton or haven't heard the music from it, it'll change your life. It is at a whole different level of what could be and what shows, it challenges the idea of what a Broadway show could be or is. And it's the language of revolution expressed through the medium of hip-hop. And so we have Black and Hispanic actors and actors of mixed ancestry who are getting representation on a stage that is typically denied that to them. And it's in a language that is typically not familiar to the Broadway audience. Now, of course, we know that Broadway tends to attract wealthy because the cost of tickets is high. It tends to attract the theater-going crowd, which tends to lean to the political left. But that we are able to get representation from people who, whether they're left or right in their politics, might not have a chance to have their faces seen and their stories told in this space. That, to me, is as impressive as anything that the show does in an artistic way. And what Hamilton does is it takes the founding fathers and their young, scrappy, and hungry leaders, and it says, hey, we have a whole new generation of young and scrappy and hungry. And just like the British were the old way, and then the Americans were like these new kids on the block coming in and changing the game, we, as a different looking and a different sounding and a different cultured people, are likewise just as much a part of this American Revolution today in 2019 as we were colonists in the 1770s. And that's really, really cool to see that language being presented in a way that's accessible to younger students and to younger audiences and to people with different backgrounds to say, I can see myself as a revolutionary. I can see this world as a place that I can change. So I love that about the Hamilton show, and I highly recommend. Like I said, inspiration comes from everywhere, and I found that show to be really, really inspiring. And on Sunday, and you'll laugh, I went to WrestleMania, baby. That's 7.5 hours of professional wrestling. Like fake fights with fake tights and, you know, fake lights and chairs and screaming and tables, and people are freaking out, knocking each other through stuff, falling off of stuff, with these choreographed pseudo-sport for 7.5 hours, 80,000 plus people at MetLife Stadium. And it was not my first WrestleMania, dear listeners. This was my third. I'm a lifelong fan of this pseudo-sport. I think it's hilarious. I think it's hysterical. And especially since they've done a lot to clean up their act, I think it's a really cool chance to just geek out with other people about the silliest, stupidest, most wonderful human stories. Because what we're seeing is like living action figures playing morality plays for us. Good guys versus bad guys. And these epic heroes against these dastardly villains, and we're constantly rooting to see good triumph over evil. And I love that it's a never-ending soap opera morality play of, oh man, that bad guy, he cheated, I'm angry at him because he broke the rules, and I want to see justice, and I want to see vengeance, and I want to see retribution from this hero who's been denied it. And that is super cool, because this competitive element, even if it is scripted, presents to us a story that resonates on a very human level, which is we root for good things to happen to good people, and we want to see justice served on those who violate those rules. And I think that that, for me, is a thing that I carry into my classroom. With a gamified classroom, there's a lot of rules and good guys and bad guys and team versus team competitions, but there's also a sense of story to it and the spectacle to it that says, yeah, this is super silly, but for the sake that we walk into this magical circle for the time we're going to spend here, you're going to just disappear into this world and suspend your disbelief. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. And it's stupid. And yeah, you're laughing at it afterwards. Like, I just paid a lot of money to sit outside in a stadium to watch fake fights choreographed for 7.5 hours. But then I think, well, you watch Lord of the Rings movies, right? That's 3 hours of fake fighting. And then you watch True Blood or Game of Thrones. You're like, oh, I watch entire series dedicated to fake fighting where the outcomes are scripted. And those mirror neurons in us as humans, we can't help but cheer for our favorites and boo for the villains. Like you're watching The Walking Dead and you're like, please don't kill my guy. Because stories have the power to transform us and transport us and take us to places where we can see the world through the eyes of these characters. And I don't care whether it's dopey wrestling or whether it's Friends or The Office or True Blood or whatever floats your boat, man. That is a very cool piece of this understanding of who we are as people, because people communicate through story. And so I pull that into my classroom. I try to bring that inspiration back. And that little bit of, you know, showmanship is okay too. That's it for today. It's a really long one. I apologize. 13 minutes. It was bad traffic. Thank you for tuning in. I want to hear about your inspirations and what gets you fired up about teaching and learning, and how we can channel those into our classrooms, because different places can get you inspired in different ways. And then you get your kids fired up, because we never know what would be the thing that catches. Feel free to tweet at me. I'm @MeehanEDU. And I'll be back next week on Monday with another episode. Thanks so much.